Welcome to Soundbites, true stories told by local Mainers and nationally recognized storytellers. The themes are always changing and the hosts are from all over the nation, but when you hear the name Soundbites, you're in for a unique storytelling experience. Soundbites is made possible by the generous contributions of Allagash Brewing, Frontier, The Press Hotel, and by the listeners of Maine Public Radio. This story was told at Frontier in Brunswick, where the event's dedicated theme was seen and unseen. Here's today's host, one of Soundbite's very own producers who lives here in Portland, Donna Galuzzo.
One more time, we're gonna bring it and lift up this person who's gonna close us out. Please welcome Ben Cunningham.
Remember the black and white horror films of yesteryear? Not like the horror films today. You had Count Dracula with that theater makeup and the plastic fangs. Good evening. Those hypnotic eyes would make you just want to hide underneath the bed. Frankenstein's monster dressed like he shopped at Goodwill, wore the suits with the padded shoulders, made him look as strong as an ox. And then the werewolf, transforming under the full moon, that trick of light, the dissolve, the creepy music that made your skin crawl. Whoever's bitten by the werewolf shall become the werewolf. And there was the werewolf. And a tuxedo. Or high school varsity jacket. These were the monsters that haunted our childhood dreams. Werewolves in tuxedos, vampires with plastic teeth. You see, back in the day, before Netflix, before the internet, if you didn't have cable, there are only two television networks out of five that played monster movies that were so old, your grandparents watched them at the Penny Arcade. Anything new, like Dawn of the Dead, you had to wait years until it came out on VHS or Betamax. But there was one new horror film coming out with an all-black cast, a comedy featuring the greats, Eddie Murphy, Richard Pryor, and Bill Cosby, playing himself a monster. We just didn't know it at the time. It was rated R, so there's just no way that my mother was gonna let me go. She wouldn't even let me listen to Ozzy Osbourne because he bit the heads off of bats. Mad Magazine might as well be Playboy Magazine. And a horror film with an all-black cast? A comedy? Sound like one of them racist blaxploitation films. You are not going. I'm arguing with my mother because we are the only black family in the entire neighborhood. So seeing images of people that look like me on the big screen would mean the world. This film was important to me the way that Black Panther is important to young black kids today. I'm playing the race card with my mother. And I win. All right, go ask your father. Now my dad was a piece of cake because my parents were going through divorce and, well, he wanted to be the cool dad. Sure, my treat. Invite all your friends. You kids can have all the junk food you want. So me and my best friend Jesus were going to the movies to see a horror film with an all-black cast. We couldn't wait, because we knew since this was a comedy, it was gonna have JJ. JJ from Good Times. This movie was gonna be dynamite. But when we got there, something was wrong. I don't know what happened. Like, maybe the Cinemaplex got the signs confused as to what theater the movie was playing in. Because so far, there is no Eddie Murphy, and there is no JJ from Good Times. That newspaper, they lied. They lied because I remember it as clear as day. That ad said, American Werewolf in London. a black comedy. There are no black people, and this movie is not funny. We now bring you to the scene where our protagonist, David, is transforming into a werewolf for the very first time by screaming bloody murder and ripping his clothes off. Clothes off. We're like, why is he ripping his clothes off? Why is he getting naked? Where's JJ from Good Times? Instead, we get this man's pale, hairy ass in our face on the big screen. Talk about full moon. We really didn't need to see that. Jesus and I are going to be traumatized for life. Life. This is not like the horror films of yesteryear. His eyes are yellow. His hand is just stretching. He's growing claws and fangs. Hair just sprouts from his body. A snout just comes out of his face and stretches. And he's just sort of like, he's twisting and contorting. And everything is just sort of cracking and snapping and locking. We're just like, you know what? If you remember that movie poster, there were no black people on that movie poster. It just said, American Werewolf in London. London, London. Like, maybe this is that British humor that people are talking about. I'm waiting for Monty Python and his flying circus to just drop in and save the day with just a little bit of humor, just a little bit. No, no, this is some serious shit. I mean, when it comes to vampires versus werewolves, I have always wanted to be a werewolf until now. Because you gotta get naked. And that's just weird. I mean, did Bela Lugosi need to get naked to be Count Dracula? No. Did Lon Chaney Jr. need to get naked to be the Wolfman? No. So then why is this man up there on the big screen rolling around naked? But when we got to that adult movie theater scene, did that actress need to get naked? Oh yeah. We completely forgot that we were watching American Werewolf in London. It was like, bow chicka bow wow, oh baby, oh yeah. We're just like giggling and laughing. And this was like sex ed class with the visuals. I could see Mrs. Landers standing in front of the screen on the stage, explaining, when a man and a woman love each other, they get close. They feel this warm sensation inside. And then, whoosh, a bloody head goes flying across the room. And we're like, ah! Jesus drops to his knees and the aisles in the movie theater become church pews. And he starts to pray, forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. Everyone goes, shh. And we're like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my. Bow chicka bow wow. Oh baby, oh yeah. They went right back to the sex. And we were drooling like wolves. Whoa. Then, whoa! And we're like, ah! Jesus is like, our Father, Lord in heaven, how to be thy name? How to be thy name? Cover your eyes! Cover your eyes! As if we are watching Raiders of the Lost Ark and the angel of death is just going to come out of the screen and our eyeballs are going to just melt down the side of our face. I'm not Catholic, but I'm imagining Father O'Leary looking at us from up there. Not heaven, but the projection room. Mashing up images. Your boy's been looking at sex, now you're gonna look at death. Sex, death, sex, death, sex, death, sex. Impure thoughts burn in hell. You know, this is kind of an exaggeration of what we've actually seen, but through the eyes of children who've been raised on the horror films of yesteryear and have never seen state-of-the-art special effects or bow-chicka-bow-wow. This is reality. By the time I finish telling the story, this part of the movie is over. But in our minds, this is the entire 1 hour and 37 minutes compressed into this moment, burned in our retina, looping over and over and over again for all eternity. Sex, violence, sex, violence, sex, Violence. This is aversion therapy. Clockwork Orange for adolescent boys. My mother never wanted me watching movies like this for fear that I was going to grow up to become a serial killer. Jason. My father's words, my treat, is going to cost him a fortune to pay for that child psychologist to help me figure out what's going on. There's this man, he turned into a werewolf, he had big nose and sharp teeth, everybody was chuckling, and then, wah! And we went, ah, and they went, shh. I didn't get much sleep after seeing that movie. I stayed up nights trying to figure out why my dad would take me to see something like that. Why'd they mix up all the sex and the violence, and why were all those people laughing? They said it was gonna be a black comedy. It wasn't funny. So one night I did something scary. I got up out of bed and I cracked open an encyclopedia. And I looked up the words black comedy. Had something to do with theater and literature and art and blah, 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 blah. Next day, I cruised in the park on my bike and met up with my friends on their BMXs, and I said, hey, sis and I went to the theater, and we saw, Jesus is looking at me like, don't say it, as if I'm going to say Bloody Mary three times. We saw American Werewolf in London. It was a black comedy. Do you know what a black comedy is? I've now elevated sex and violence to high art to deal with my nightmares, because I'm afraid. I'm afraid of full moons in the pale blue sky. I'm afraid of werewolves that might jump out of alleys or try and pull me into the bushes. But between our friends, Jesus and I are cool, because we did something like grown-ups. But whenever I look at Jesus, we both know. We know. We nearly wet our pants and cried like babies when we saw American Werewolf in London. Thank you.
Storyteller Ben Cunningham won Boston's 2017 Big Mouth Off Story Slam. He's also won Boston's Big Mouth Off Story Slam in 2011. He was chosen to represent Mass Mouth, which is another great live storytelling venue. And he was a guest storyteller at the Mass Mouth 2012 Big Mouth Off at the Coolidge Corner Theater, which is hosted by WGBH's Tony Khan. Ben Cunningham has also performed at the Fuller Craft Museum, the Norman Rockwell Museum, and the Institute of Contemporary Art in Boston. Thank you, Ben. That was amazing.
Sit tight for more sound bites. Our host asked today's teller some fun questions with answers that you didn't really hear in the story.
What is your connection to Maine?
I guess I have two connections to Maine. I guess one is I used to go to and work at a dance camp. I'm not exactly sure because it's moved a couple of times, and that's actually probably one of my earlier introductions to storytelling as well.
What got you into storytelling?
Got me into storytelling. Initially, I was working with children and trying to keep them still, and when I started telling stories, they started staying still, and it sort of blossomed from there.
I love that. That's a great answer. When you're preparing to tell your story, what's the process that you go through?
I do a lot of talking, so people, if they see me, they're like, why is he talking to himself? I do a lot of talking, a lot of writing. I think when I get ready to perform, music helps out a lot to get me kind of feeling that I'm not just in rehearsal. I'm not just doing the mechanics, but it feels more natural.
And for tonight, is there a part of your story that you can tell us about, some little behind-the-scenes detail that didn't make it into the final story?
I think, well, with this story, you know, there's a component about race and identity as far as I don't know how much I should tell. I don't know as far as, but there was a part where me and my friend were just talking about the fact that as far as horror films and films in general, there aren't a whole lot of Black or Hispanic films, and I dropped that out. But it just seems to be kind of significant in the sense that, you know, we were both like 10, 11 years old at that point, kind of really seeing the reality of Hollywood.
Awesome, thank you.
Soundbites is made possible by the generous contributions of Allagash Brewing, Frontier, The Press Hotel, and by the listeners of Maine Public Radio. Special thanks also to Toad & Co. More information about Soundbites, including how to attend a live storytelling event, is online at soundbitesme.org. And of course, you can always hear more stories at mainepublic.org.